Good morning. Well, for those who don't know, I'm Bill Lamori, lead pastor here at Calvary. And as Ingrid said, we're happy that you are all here today. I want to take you back to a few years ago where I had a backlog, I mean, just a massive pileup of free trees that were piling up in my yard. I'll admit at that season in time, I might have become slightly obsessed with obtaining free firewood. So what I did is I scoured Craigslist and I made friends with some local arborists and tree workers. And it got to the point where they would just, if they were doing a job in the area, they knew they could count on Lamori if the owner didn't want the wood to just sort of dump it in my yard. And so it started with a red maple, then a sugar maple, and so on. And the issue is that it got to the point where they wouldn't even call anymore. They just drop it off. And it was madness because I don't have that kind of time on my hands to just like process all these trees, although I wanted to. In fact, one of the guys finally, it was someone needed to be the voice of reason. And it wasn't me. Because like, if you call and say, hey, I've got this tree, well, I don't know, it's oak, send it over. You know. And so one day my wife, unbeknownst to me, ran off one of the tree guys because, again, somebody had to be the voice of reason. Now, the issue is, again, it's not that I didn't want to do it. I just simply didn't have the time. But one day I recognized I needed to catch up. So I set aside some time and I even enlisted the help. Someone in our church body said, hey, I'll come over and help you with this. And the plan was that I would use the chainsaw to cut down a lot of these logs into just sort of these rounds. And then he would use the axe to take the rounds and split them. And it was a great day. It was a good plan, a perfect, sunny, but cool day. And so I got on my gear. I put in my earplugs, my goggles, my chaps, my steel toe boots, because, you know, safety first. And so I got out there and I was all ready to do this. And then I noticed that the chain on the chainsaw needed to be tightened. So I removed the chain brake cover while the chain, the brake was still engaged, which apparently is a no-no. And it's exactly why in big letters on the chainsaw, they tell you not to do that, which I didn't bother reading before that, of course. And so I once I figured out why it wasn't working anymore, I desperately tried to fix it. And then to no avail, I just after a while just gave up and it was frustrated and it ruined my plans for that day. So it just became locked up and unusable. A couple days later, I brought the chainsaw to the local equipment repair center. And the guy smiled at me when I told him what happened, kind of like, yeah, we've seen you guys before. And he used this little tool and he just kind of got it back in motion and then handed it back over and it was working great. And I said, all right, what did I do wrong? I mean, why is it that I couldn't fix it? You made it look so easy. And he said, look, unless you've got this little tool, it's very unlikely that you're going to be able to do it. And so it was, hey, it was for me, I wanted to fix it. I needed to fix it. The issue was I just wasn't properly equipped to do it. Now, at some point along the way, we often encounter this barrier in our spiritual journey. I don't mean that you don't have a chainsaw that doesn't work. What I mean is we simply aren't equipped to do whatever it is that we need to do. We sense that there's something that we really need to be doing or needs to change in our lives. We sense that there's something that God wants to do in us, something that he wants to change. But despite many hours and lots of expended energy fueled by determination and desire, we still stay stuck. And we come to the realization that despite our need and despite our desire, we simply don't have what it takes. We're simply not equipped for the task at hand. And at this point, many people give up. They move on. They abandon that thing and they go on to something else. And some people, because they stay stuck, they actually walk out on their relationship with God altogether. But today, I want to encourage you. And I want you to know that hope and help are absolutely available. You see, just like that man at the repair center for me that day, there is help available for all of us. Help that can properly equip you to help you get where you need to go, and even help that can help equip you to the point where you become an equipper to help others who were once stuck, who are stuck like you once were. Now, as we talk about all this today, my hope today is that you will walk out inspired. And I also hope that you'll begin to see things maybe just a little bit differently, maybe just a little bit more clearly. Because today is what we call Vision Sunday here at Calvary Fellowship. And what we're going to talk about is not, we hope, only helpful for today, but it's going to be the theme that we weave throughout 2018. We're going to keep coming back to it. And I'm actually pretty excited about it. So I'm glad that you're here today. So if you have your Bibles, I would ask you to open them up to Ephesians chapter 4. If you don't have your Bibles with you, verses will be on the screen. But what we're going to do is read our text, we're going to unpack it, and then we're going to talk about being equipped, what happens when we are, and how we expect all of this to play out in our church this year, and also how different our church might look at the end of this year if we all take this really seriously. So Ephesians 4, starting in verse 1, Paul writes, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who ascended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." This chapter begins with the word therefore. And I know it's corny, but every time we see that, it's a signal for us to stop and answer the question, what is it therefore? Because it is a connecting word. And so the therefore in chapter 4, verse 1, where we started, connects us back to the first half. Ephesians is 6 chapters. And the first 3 chapters are all about what Jesus has done for us and who we are in him. And so the last chapter, starting with what we read 4 through 6, talks about then the response. In light of all that God has done for us, how then shall we live? What is our response to this? And that's why Paul says, in light of this, he begs or implores us, walk worthy of our calling. You see, you and I are called to be sons and daughters of God, to be ambassadors of Christ. And so for the sake of clarity, he begins to describe what this worthy calling looks like to the world around us. He says, walk in lowliness, with gentleness, patience, and love. So when we read that, the first thing we should see is that to do this, it's going to require some humility. that none of us that are followers of Jesus should be walking around in pride, walking around in arrogance with an unhealthy view of ourselves. By the way, an unhealthy view can be the opposite, where we look down at ourselves in a very negative way at the creation that God made. That's not good either, but nor is it healthy to look at ourselves and say, we are so awesome, because what we do is we fail to recognize in that moment is that the God who created us is the awesome one. And so we're to walk in humility. He also says, make every effort to keep unity and peace in the church. So, okay, walking worthy of Jesus means we are to strive for unity. He says, make every effort. What this means, it's an active pursuit of peacemaking within our church that is intentional, that is constant. It is working hard to keep the unity within the diversity of any church. And when challenges come, not if challenges come, it means we are committed to working through them for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of our representation to this world. Now, later in the passage, we read that he also wants us to grow up. Now, some people will say, I've been a Christian for 25 years. When in reality, they've been a Christian for 1 year, 25 times. Paul says that's not the goal, right? We actually need to come to faith in Jesus and grow up along the way. There needs to be some development that's taking place. We need to be to walk worthy means we're experiencing maturity, not perfection, but maturing that is constantly taking place. So in his church, Jesus expects to see humility, unity, and maturity, and all of which, as the chapter makes clear, is undergirded by and exploding in love. Now, as we ponder a church that looks like that, I think it would be safe to say that most of us would say, that is something I would really like to be a part of. That's the kind of community that I want to belong to. That is something that I would put my all into. That's something that I would invest my time and resources into. That's something that I would invite my friends to come to, because why wouldn't they want to be a part of this too? And why would I not want that for them? The challenge is, when we look at our church, when we look at any church in our state, in our country, or even in our world, there is a gap that needs to be bridged between the ideal and the real, where we want to be and where we are, between what God calls us to be and between our current reality. And this gap is something that causes great discouragement and frustration in the body of Christ. This gap, honestly, is one of the reasons that many people bounce from church to church to church, seeking to find one to belong to that looks and functions like Paul just described. The problem is, even in your search, if you find one like that, if you're not also like that, you're going to mess it up, right? So we all have to be like that, because the problem is there are no perfect churches. But there are churches that are operating in more humility, that are walking in greater unity and growing in more robust maturity than others. And these churches are filled with people who are operating in more humility, walking in greater unity, and growing in a deeper, robust maturity. And while there are those churches, there are also the churches on the other end of the spectrum that are on the other end, completely dysfunctional, to maybe somewhere in the middle where they're just perfectly mediocre. But nobody would say, I desperately want to be a part of a church that's mediocre. Nobody would say, I want to give my all to a dysfunctional community and organization. I mean, where do I sign up for that? Right? Nobody is saying that. I think for most of us, most church attenders, members, leaders, we would say that we as individuals and we as a church community want to walk worthy of our calling in Christ. I do. I want that for me. I want that for you. I want that for us. One of the things we say here at Calvary and mean is we want something for you, not something from you. And so this is something we want for all of us. So I think we have the desire, and we also have the need, because God calls us that, and there's a world out there that's looking on that needs to see something different so that they can see the hope and help that's experienced in Christ as they look on and see his people functioning the way they're supposed to be. We have the desire, we have the need, but how does this become a reality? How do we actually do it? Because a desire and a need are good, but it's simply not enough to make it happen. So for the rest of our time, I want to talk about how we've been equipped, what equipping looks like in action in 2018 at Calvary Fellowship, and again, what our church will look like if we do our part to fulfill our call with the equipping that we receive. First of all, since our need and desire isn't enough to make us more humble, more united, more mature, we need to turn to the one who is equipped to help us and to equip us. You see, after Paul lays out this inspiring, challenging vision, he says in verse 7 that to each of us, grace was given as Christ decided to distribute it. Now, we often, many times, think of grace as something that spares us from punishment. Like, oh, we sin, but God gave us grace so we don't get the punishment we deserve. And that's part of grace. But the even more exciting part of grace is it is something that God does through us, that he propels us forward. You see, we weren't just saved from something. We were saved for something. And so grace isn't simply a cushion we can land on. It's a spring that's supposed to push us and propel us forward into action. And so this grace is poured out into us to equip us to move forward with him. And through this grace, we are told, Paul says, that we've all been given spiritual gifts. And if you want to read more exhaustive lists, you can go to 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and you can see a good list of what some of these spiritual gifts are. But understand that part of us getting to this place, this sort of ideal community, the church that we all want to be a part of and to be, is through these gifts that Christ has given to us. But as part of his equipping, Jesus didn't just give us gifts. He also gives us the gifted. He gives us one another. In other words, your gift is not enough on its own to get us where we need to be. My gift on its own is not enough to get us where we need to be. But when we put them all into play and really begin to watch things work together, then all of a sudden this crazy vision actually becomes possible. Now, Paul, as I said in the chapter we read, doesn't list a big list of spiritual gifts, but he lists a few. And these gifts that he lists are not more important than the others, but they are vital to the rest functioning and flowing together in a glorious spiritual symphony. Verse 11, he says, Christ gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So for now, let's just say that he gave some to be spiritual leaders. And again, none of these people are more special than any other person in the community of Christ. None are more holy. It's simply just we have a different gift. They have been equipped differently. The problem is sometimes we don't understand the functioning of their equipping, and so that's where things go wrong. Let's consider for a moment, what is the role of a church leader? And what should we expect from them? For too many people, the expectation is that the pastors, ministers, church leaders are supposed to do all the work of ministry. But verse 12 says, which, by the way, is our verse of the year that we'll be coming back to. Verse 12 spells out why Christ gifted and appointed these leaders and what they're really supposed to do. Let's reread Ephesians 4:12. He says, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. See, our desire for 2018 is for you to be equipped and to grow so that you are in some way, shape, or form an equipper to somebody else. Now, let's go back to me and my chainsaw for a different angle. You see, the reason that I never got done what I needed to that day was I wasn't using the equipment properly. So it broke down and it didn't function the way that I needed it. In the same way, many people conclude that the church, any church, is broken, messed up, and good for nothing. But maybe part of the problem is we aren't going about it the right way, which is why it isn't functioning the way we need it to. Maybe that's why it gets locked up and just isn't going the way that we sense that it should be going. And you see, we sometimes think, again, going back to looking at it, maybe what we need to do is just look at things differently. You see, we sometimes think that the pastors, the ministry, church leaders, their job is to do all the work of ministry, and our job is to maybe help out, to pinch in from time to time if we're available in our schedule. But ultimately, we are counting on them to do all the main things. To lead worship, to preach messages, teach classes, to give counsel, to show up at every party, officiate every wedding, to do every funeral, to show up every time a baby is born or someone's sick in the hospital, to provide a word of wisdom, advice, or encouragement, to pray for you, disciple you, challenge you, just a little sometimes. In a nutshell, to do all the work of ministry. And we are called to do all of those things some of the time, but we are not called to do all of those things all of the time. You see, it is our responsibility to make sure as church leaders that stuff gets done. That's what the passage teaches, but not to do it all. And I can assure you, there was a time when in the church, it was basically me, my wife, and maybe a handful of a couple other people that were doing all, when we got started, we were doing the whole thing. Do you know there was a time where I'd type out the bulletins, print the bulletins, fold the bulletins, update the website, preach almost every message, do the announcements, I was actually the worship leader, as terrible as that sounds, if you know me. We didn't have live worship, so what we did is we programmed these videos, and our worship was contained inside the laptop. How many of you want to live in a church where I'm your worship leader? Don't raise your hands, because if you raise your hand, it means you just don't know. And in fact, I shared this with some of our staff, and I won't call anybody out, but one person started laughing and said, "Well, I don't think I would have stayed at the church if you did all of that all the time." And I said, "I know that's not how it's supposed to work." And fortunately, as people came, we began to hand some of this off, and people found meaningful responsibility and were able to step up and be a part of things, and that has continued to expand. And I can tell you, we never would have grown if we didn't begin to change and release a lot of these things for other people. So, as church leaders, the role of the church leader is to equip God's people for works of service. We are to lead, equip, and inspire an army of ministers. And everyone is supposed to be enlisted. So, you shouldn't expect church leaders to do all the work of ministry, but you should expect your church leaders to equip you. And we should expect each of us to do our part so that we can become a more spiritually robust, biblically functioning Christ community where we are walking in greater levels of humility, greater unity, and developing maturity. So if you haven't guessed, I'm happy to tell you that our theme for 2018, we have a theme every single year, is to equip. That's what we're going to focus on because we desperately want to be the kind of church that walks worthy of our calling, and we want you to be the type of person that says, "I too am walking worthy of our calling in Christ." We want to be a church and we want to be individuals that are, again, marked by humility, unity, and maturity, all grounded and overflowing with love. So we take this responsibility seriously. And when I say an annual theme, what that means is it'll intentionally be worked into, weaved into, and it will guide all the things that we do in this next year ahead. And so what I want to do just for the next couple minutes is give you a preview of some of the ways this will work out. Certainly not all the ways, but just to give you some of the highlights of what you can see. First of all, you're going to see this equipping take place more intentionally and more heavily in our area of programming. Now, Calvary Care is a ministry of people in our church that I think exemplifies this Ephesians 4 model perfectly. It is people in our church being equipped to equip other people in our church and to care for other people. Now, if you're in a situation where you're like, I don't even know where I need to be equipped, but I know I need something, let me encourage you to meet with someone from Calvary Care, because part of the time what they do is listen to you and just kind of spend some time pouring in. Other times they sense, oh, here's what you really need, and they can steer you to a different environment where you can get the equipping that you need. And in this year ahead, I'd love to see so many more of you take advantage of that to really kind of step forward and get whatever help, whatever equipping that you need. But I'd really love to see many of you step forward so that there is an army in Calvary Care. Because guess what? Sometimes you're going to need to be sitting on either side of the table in that span of care. And it's just great if we can all be there to help one another. So if you sense God calling you, I'd encourage you to step up. What I love is that looking at Todd and Mandy Miltimore, who probably don't like that I called them out, so I'll just kind of look away from them so they don't make a mad eye at me or anything. But one of the things that I love about them is they're the perfect example. For years, they've been coming to our church, many years, and they were poured into, and all along, they've been responsible, serving in lots of different ways. But as they were equipped, and Kristen Chase invested heavily in them, they're now investing heavily in the people in our church, leading, equipping other leaders, and that's exactly how it should work. And by the way, that's the model. We want to equip you so that we see many more lay leaders leading, not just doing, but leading works of ministry within our church so that we can grow stronger and healthier. But not only that, when it comes to equipping, you're going to see more of that in the area of new believers. That's going to be an area we really are going to focus on. Last year, we saw 25 people for the very first time ever give their lives to Jesus in this area. And that's wonderful. That's people that are going to heaven. We hope to see more, but what we also hope to see is that the people that did make that decision grow and get rooted in their faith. And so we really definitely want to help invest in this area more. Have some more things that are intentional, things that are already in place for the people that did come to Christ already, but for those who will. And if you feel like, man, I'm just passionate about that area, let us hear from you, because there's going to be a lot more opportunities. Or in the area of home fellowships, they're open today. I hope you go through the catalog. As you do, you'll see that we were very intentional this cycle about having some very practical equipping things, whether it's in your family, whether it's in your spiritual walk with God, whether it's in your theological understanding, lots of different practical opportunities for you to be equipped. And I'd encourage you to step up. Maybe for some of you, it's time to open your home and host a home. Maybe it's time for you to step up and be a leader. You've kind of been sitting on the sidelines, but you recognize we'll equip you in that area so that you can be trained in that area as well. But I would encourage you, be a part of that opportunity. But you see, it's not just in programming. In the year ahead, we really want to be intentional in equipping you in the area of teaching and what's presented here on Sunday mornings. So next week, we're going to start a series on the Bible. Well, which book? The whole thing. Now, to be clear, we're not going through the whole thing chapter by chapter, verse by verse. It's going to be a short series about the Bible. What is it? Why can you trust it? How do you use it? And how can you grow more passionate about God's word? We want to equip you to be a people of the word who are deeply in it and have the word flowing through you. You know, one of the things about Jesus is he always was able to respond to situations by quoting scripture as part of what his response was. And that was because he was a person in God's word. So that's something I'm excited about. We're going to do a series on core values. We're going to talk about what are some of the core values here at Calvary. Why is that the case? And how are they rooted in scripture with the aim of learning how we can embody these things again so we can be even more attractive and compelling in our Christianity as people look on, more united. One of the series we're going to spend a big chunk of time on this year is 1 Corinthians. Now, if you look at the church of Corinth, Corinth was an interesting place. I mean, it was just a diverse place with lots of activity, and the early church there was growing, having lots of diversity, but they also had lots of problems because a lot of the pagan influences, the influences of the culture was working its way into the church, and frankly, there's a lot of similarities between us and the church at Corinth, where we need to learn to accept accept our rooting in Christ, be a part of the culture, but not be like the culture that's around us, and learn how we can walk worthy of our calling, even in an environment that's not always friendly to do it. So that's going to be a great study. The last one I'll highlight is our fall campaign. You know, fall campaigns where we always align the Sunday morning teaching with what's happening in the home fellowships. Well, this year we're going to focus on an issue relevant to everyone, and that's marriage. You see, we don't want to just simply wait to address the problems. We will, and we are available. If you need help, we're certainly available for that. But we want to be proactive, and we want to work with those that are engaged. We're going to be doing more equipping there. We're going to work on those that are newly married, those that are about to get married. We want to spend a lot of time investing in these areas. And listen, I am aware there are many single people here today. Single people, are you here? All right, three of you are here, and I'm so glad that you are. What I want you to do is tell your friends that this will be for you and them too, because statistically, most of you will end up married someday. And you know when the time, some of you are claiming that in the name of Jesus, right? Some of you are rejecting that, whatever. I don't know where you're at, but most of you will be, whether you want to or not, right? So here's the thing. Do you know when the right time to build a biblical, godly vision of marriage is? Not when you start dating, because we can't get through to you then. I'm in love. I'm clouded, right? We want to get you before then. We want you to fall in love, but start building in and rooting in this biblical vision of marriage so you take that with you, and actually that becomes part of your filter for, is this the right person to spend the rest of your life with? So there'll be messages for you, and there'll be things to help equip all of us, because we think this is an important topic. I think so goes of families in our church, so goes the church. So you're also going to see this year marriage conferences that we're going to encourage you to go to, and some other equipping areas, marriage mentors, etc. Now, one of the things we also want to see going on this year is ongoing training in terms of equipping. You see, we envision an online library where we can more readily equip you with various modules. We know that when it comes to, for example, serving or growing in your faith, there's times we offer classes. We live in hectic times where it's hard to, and we don't even have a place a lot of times. So one of the things we're looking to do is, for certain areas, almost test pilot, begin doing some online things where it's like, oh, you need me to go through this? Fine, I can go through and complete these several things online. We really want to begin to build a database, and it's going to take some time, and it's going to take a lot of effort, but we trust that this will better equip you and better equip us to be growing and to be more aligned together. One of the things we want to equip you to do this year is to serve our community. You see, one of the things we often hear is, man, we're just not doing enough to serve the community. Now, what I've taken to do is like, okay, when I hear that, I said, I don't disagree with you, but define what you mean by serve the community. Sometimes people will have, maybe it's this, maybe it's that, or you'll hear a host of different answers. And so what we have decided to do, and what Candace on our staff is already underway doing, is we're beginning conversations with leaders in our town, leaders in our county, leaders throughout the state, and talking to some of you guys to find out and identify what are the true needs in our community, and then which of those, because we can't do everything, that's why there's lots of different churches, but which of those can we meet, and then to be more specific, more intentional, so that though we gather in here and rally in here, we don't stay in here, but we're out serving the community, not by just some nebulous, oh, we love community support, outreach, yay. No, here's intentionally where we're going to go, here's where we're going to serve, and here's how we're going to focus. And we'll focus our time, and we'll continue to focus more resources into that area to make the community better, because God wants us to be a blessing to where we live and to help make it better. Now, one of the things we also want to do is continue this year to keep searching for a property. We know that last year was greatly successful in raising funds for that, but I want you to know that for us is a key equipping tool, because not only will it equip us to better reach the community, it will better equip us to help grow together, because we'll have opportunities to gather 24/7 to do maybe some more classes, gatherings, support groups, prayer nights, worship nights, whatever it is we want to do. And I want you to know that our building team is hard at work at this right now. We do have a pretty unbelievable
property that we're looking at right now, if this were to work by God's grace and a miracle, then it would be more than we could imagine. So I would encourage you to pray for this diligently and trust that whatever God would do, he'll do. So I don't know if it's going to be this property or a different one, but know we're working on it because we see this as a key tool in being equipped to grow into what God wants us to do. Now, this past week, our staff team gathered together and shared the goals that they and other ministry leaders had put together. And all of these things were done. All of our goals were written this year with this theme of equip in mind. And I can tell you that I'm excited for what's ahead, and I hope that you are too, because this idea of equipping is driving and fueling all of the different goals that will manifest and the plans that will manifest themselves in many different ways. And we just touched on them today, but we didn't have time to get into all of it. But one of the things that I think is really cool about our focus of equip this year is it builds on the prior 2 years. Because you see, 2016, our focus was all about getting healthy. Last year, our focus was on multiplying, and this year, it's on equipping, which is absolutely essential that we are equipped if we want to continue to grow healthy, and then from that, to continue to multiply. And so as we look at that, I really want to challenge you this year. For this to work, we have to remember the verse that we read in verse 16, where Paul says, "Each part must do its work." In other words, it's not enough to have the desire, the need, and even the equipping available, but you've actually got to be equipped, and then you've got to step forward and act on it. For some of this, this means availing yourself for that equipping. It means making it a priority to be around on Sunday mornings and gather in Christ's name and worship him. For it means gathering in home fellowships and carving that out in your schedule. Support groups, discipleship opportunities, leading opportunities, service opportunities, however God has equipped you and gifted you to show up in whatever way. First of all, if you don't know, to be equipped. We have a shape class that will help reveal how has God designed you. How have you been equipped? And listen, every single one of us, whether we are equipped or not now, needs to grow in that equipping. And so I challenge you to step up in that. I'm going to do that. You know, this year in my life, and just to be vulnerable with you, I sense that there's a couple areas where I need equipping, where this year I'm actually going to seek counseling because I really, there's a couple areas in my life where I really want to process better. I really want to grow. And I recognize I need someone that's equipped to kind of help work with me during that season. But also, I want to be equipped because, you know what? Growing churches are led by growing leaders, and that means not just spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. It also means practically. And so one of the things I'm doing is investing in coaching so that I can grow as a church leader to be better equipped to help be an equipper to everyone else that's here. And so I share that with you to say, hey, this isn't something you should do. This is something we should do, something that I'm committed to doing, and I hope that you are committed as well. Now, once you are equipped, it also means you need to get your part into play. Because we'll never be marked by humility, unity, and maturity, all grounded and overflowing with love, if we're sitting on the sidelines. We'll never be the kind of church that is filled with people like that if we aren't filled with people that are doing their part. So I want to reread the last verses that follow our theme verse for the year. I'll read along on the screen, Ephesians 4, 13 through 16, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You see, You see it again there. Paul reiterates it. Unity. Listen, there are many things that could divide us, and the enemy would love to use those things. There are many things politically, racially, and differences in gender, economics, preferences, religious backgrounds, church preferences. There are so many different things, but God wants us to make every effort at unity. See, division comes naturally. You don't really need to work on it. You just kind of let that set in. But unity, the unity that God calls us to, is a supernatural unity. He also repeats this idea of maturity. He says, you shouldn't be like spiritual kids that get carried away with every wind of doctrine. As you don't get caught up in all the latest fads. And man, you know what? The wonders of technology are wonderful. They're also terrible at the same time. Not every podcast, not every church article, not everything you read is great. And so it takes a discerning mind, a one that is grounded and equipped in God's word to be able to filter and process through some of those things. He doesn't repeat humility here, but he adds another piece, responsibility. You see, as we are all joined together in health with every member doing their part, that is the picture of health. And he adds, if this is happening, this causes growth for the body as it is built up in love. Listen, we don't need to focus on growing our church. We need to focus constantly on making our church healthy because healthy things grow. So the focus is health, not growth, and leave the rest to Him. Now, if we all took God's desire for us, the words of Scripture that we read, and our focus this year seriously, what do you suppose would happen? What would it do in your life? What would it do in your marriage? How would your children be impacted by that? How about your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers? What would it do in this community as they saw a united, humble, growing force that shatters all the negative stereotypes they've always had of churches? You see, we live in terrible times, and people need hope. But they don't need to have us tell them about it. They need to see it in action. They need to see us living it out. And what would that do for each of them, for each of us, if we were to live, breathe, and move in a community and an environment with this much health, this much love flowing through it? We started this church 12 and a half years ago with a handful of people in a basement. And in many ways, this church has exceeded my wildest dreams. But as true as that is, we have not yet realized God's wildest dreams for us. We can celebrate some really cool things God has done and is doing both in and through us, but I believe there is so much more ahead. Now, I don't mean numbers. Sure, He may cause us to grow and expand, and that's cool, but I'm talking about His calling. He wants us to walk in deeper humility, strive for greater unity, and experience ongoing maturity, and exercise proper responsibility collectively and individually so that we can grow in health and be built up in love to walk worthy of our calling. So maybe we need to stop searching for a church that looks like this and instead seek to become one together. Because He's already equipped us with the grace that we need to make this dream a reality. But the response is up to us. So I'm going to do something today. If you don't have them out, please take out your handouts, the sheets inside your worship program that you received. We haven't done this much lately, but I'm going to ask you to make some commitments today. You're not turning them in, so I won't see them, we won't see them, but God will see them, and you will see them. And what I want to encourage you to do is to make some decisions today, so that what we're talking about isn't simply a motivational speech that we enjoy for a day, but rather it's something that will become an inspiring reality for all of us to enjoy and the people around us to benefit from, because God has equipped us to do this. But we all need to respond. So here are the challenges the commitments I'm challenging you to respond to today. The first is to operate in humility, knowing that all I have and am is because of Jesus. If you need to grow in this area, focus on the greatness of God and ask Him to show you where you fit into all of this. Next, to make every effort to maintain unity in our church. I'm sure right now there's maybe things that frustrate you. There's another person here that frustrates you. Maybe me or some other leader that frustrates you. Whatever the case, that happens all the time. But what I encourage you to do, instead of giving up, bailing, or creating dissension, strive for unity. The Bible says we should make every effort. Next, to commit to growing in maturity with the help of my church leaders and for the sake of my church community. You see, this growth we can't just manufacture on our own, but we can make the commitment that I want that and that we will receive the equipping we get from Jesus, the equipping we get from our church, and that I will be available and responsible, and I want to grow in that area. And finally, to practice responsibility by doing my part in our church community. Listen, for some of you, maybe you've served hard and diligently for a season, and you've taken a break, and we understand that and enjoy that rest. But for some of you, it's time to step up. Sitting on the sidelines is not what God calls for you. It's not walking worthy of your calling. Jesus has done everything for us, and He wants us to respond by getting in and helping to form this community. For this to work, we need all of us stepping in and doing our part as Christ leads us. So I encourage you, if that's you today, take this healthy challenge and step up for that. I'd like to close us out in prayer before we conclude in one more song.